Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We've received a lot of questions from you, our viewers, so today we are going to dedicate the entire program to answering your questions.
Yep, and Mona, we need to pray before we begin, and so let's just pray for the Lord's guidance. Lord, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us now as we go through these somewhat rather difficult questions, and use this time to bring each of us closer to our Savior Jesus. In His name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen. Our first question,
yeah.
Could you address the difference between the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation and the judgment seat of Christ expressed in the Apostle Paul's teaching?
Yep. So let me read a rather sobering few verses from Revelation 20, the great throne, white throne judgment. Revelation 20, starting in verse 11. John is having this vision of the end. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, Jesus, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So that's, now how does that differ from Paul's? It doesn't. I mean, Paul also, same stuff. If you want to see Paul's teaching on Judgment Day, Romans chapter 2 is most thorough talking about Judgment Day. So it's going to happen. All the dead will be raised. Everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged by our works. Not that we're saved by our works. We're saved by grace. But our works do show if we believed in Christ or not. And then those who rejected Christ go to hell. Those who trusted him go to heaven. And then it's over. There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
You've been asking if smoking cigarettes is a sin, or you've been asked if smoking cigarettes is a sin, and your response is no, but it will get you to die sooner. Is that really your opinion? Are not our bodies the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, and you and I knew an old pastor. He was our pastor at Hope Lutheran, and he died. But he used to say, smoking won't keep you out of heaven. It'll just get you there quicker. Mm-hmm. And that's who I was quoting. Now, is it a sin to smoke cigarettes? I think so, but it's not like, I think eating too many Twinkies is not good for your body. I'm not excusing stuff. I mean, I remember my mom smoked, and in her later years, Tommy, would you go buy me a pack of cigarettes? And I felt, Mom, don't ask me to buy you something that's going to make you die quicker. But so I think if you're smoking, you should try to stop and try to get some help or however you need to do it. Is there anything in the Bible that says if you smoke, you don't go to heaven? No. The place that I look at is 1 Corinthians 6. Don't be deceived. Neither the idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, robbers, and revilers will inherit the kingdom of God. But that's the best I can do.
Sounds good.
I hope.
I've wondered for a long time when it says in the Bible about adultery, it almost always refers to a woman being caught in the act. Where is the man being held accountable? She's caught in the act. Why isn't there a reference about him also being punished like the woman, since both are committing the sin?
Well, in the New Testament, I think there's one place anybody was caught in adultery, and that's the woman in John chapter 8. And so didn't talk about the man because he wasn't there. But are men also condemned for committing adultery in the Bible? Yeah, because if you read Leviticus 10, both the man and the woman who are committing adultery are sinning against God. So I think it's equally men and women are sinning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we have close friends with unbelievers? I've been wondering, what is the point? Because we are also taking away time from friendships with other believers who we will know in heaven.
Well, one reason to have unbelieving friends is for evangelism. You mm-hmm. talk to them about Christ, and hopefully, slowly but surely, you'll win them over.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible does say to be separate and to come out from among them, the people that are sinning. So if it's affecting you, mm-hmm. then if your friends are leading you into sin and you're following, you probably need to change your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus was a friend of sinners.
Yes, he was.
So there you go.
Okay. How is infant baptism consistent with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which I see is the moment of true salvation?
Yeah, I think this is a person who doesn't believe in water baptism much. They just think, just be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Get the Holy Spirit. You don't need water baptism. I think that's what she maybe was saying. And water baptism is a big deal in the New Testament. In Pentecost, everybody got baptized. And then mm-hmm. throughout the book of Acts, when people got saved, they got water baptized. So I don't hold this view that there's something called the baptism of the Spirit, and so you don't need water baptism. No, you need water baptism. In fact, water baptism is connected with receiving the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Peter says at Pentecost, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, into one spirit we were all baptized. When Jesus was baptized at age 30 or so, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. Mm-hmm. Now, he was God. He was one with the Holy Spirit and the Father for eternity. So he had the Spirit before baptism. But that's when it became visual for John the Baptist. And so I do believe in water baptism, and that water baptism is connected to the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My children are baptized as infants, and now they are 14 and 16. They want to get baptized now as it is their choice. Is that bad? I think I remember you saying that to get baptized multiple times.
Is wrong. Yeah.
Is wrong.
And here's why. Mona, sometimes you have this, well, I accepted Christ. I got baptized as a baby. But then later I really came to understand it, so I got baptized again. Well, all right, then I fell away, but then I came back to Christ. Well, you get baptized again? I mean, mm-hmm. some people, if you baptize them every time they come back to Christ, it's going to be five or six times. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. We believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And I have people do this. Pastor Brock, I was baptized as a baby, but now that I'm an adult and understand things, would you baptize me? And I just say no. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Kind of like being rededicated?
You can, yeah, we rededicate our lives every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does God forgive our sins if we don't confess them?
Well, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So on the other hand, let's not overinterpret that verse. Does that mean I have to confess every sin I've ever done mm-hmm. to be saved? No, you don't know half of them. We forget what we do, and there are sins we do that we don't even know are sins. Mm-hmm. Here's a lady that I was talking to yesterday, and oh my God, oh my God. And I think she goes to a Catholic church. I'm thinking, And I have, just the way she was doing it, I have a feeling she had no idea
mm-hmm.
that she was taking God's name in vain and violating the second commandment. So, yes, we need to confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, and receive God's forgiveness, but then know that there's a lot of grace in God.
Mm-hmm.
Our sins that we don't know about, he forgives. Our sins we didn't remember to confess. Sometimes the other, I say this to the 12-year-olds in confirmation class. Two Christians are driving a truck. A bus comes out in front of them, kills them both. But they were having an argument. GDU. Well, GDU, and boom, they got killed by a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Did they go to heaven or hell? And sometimes the 12-year-olds, they went to hell. Why is that? Well, they didn't have time to ask for forgiveness. And I said, so your salvation depends on whether you have enough time to confess all your sins before you die. If that's true, nobody's going to
mm-hmm.
heaven. We're saved by grace, ultimately. But it is important to confess your sins.
Amen.
So there you go.
If a person is not sure they are saved, what does that mean, that they are not saved if they don't?
Yeah, there's something that I received when I was about 19, the assurance of myself. I know, Mona, sinner that I am, I know still, My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Because I claim 1 John 5:13. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. God made that promise to me. God will not break his promises. Mm-hmm. So as long as I trust in Jesus Christ, I know, 1 John 5:13, I'm saved. There are days I kind of doubt it, mm-hmm. which is why I take Holy Communion to reassure my faith. That happened to me when I was about 19. I think I was saved before that. I didn't have the assurance I should have had. Mm-hmm. But I prayed. I knew Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. And if anybody's watching this, you don't want to live without the assurance of your salvation. Mm-hmm. That's Christianity was kind of a drag. Now it's the most wonderful thing in my life. Mm-hmm. So I don't doubt that people who don't have the assurance of their salvation, I think as long as they're trusting in Christ, they're saved. And even as a believer, there are days I wonder if I'm saved, but mm-hmm. I fight those doubts with 1 John 5:13.
Amen. Does God forgive our sins if we don't? Oh, we just asked that. Are our future sins already forgiven?
When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. So Mona, technically, even the sins you haven't done yet are under the blood. That means the atoning death of Christ. So I believe, again, if you commit a sin tomorrow and don't remember to confess it until that evening and you die in between, or let's say I'm going up for Holy Communion and I die before I get up there, our sins are covered, past, present, and future, by the all-sufficient atonement of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Some teach we are saved by grace alone, and others teach we are saved by grace and good works. What does the Bible preach or teach?
Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not because of your good works, lest anyone should boast. Mm-hmm. So I believe we're saved by grace alone. Now, does that mean I can live like the devil? No, because when you're saved by grace alone, God starts to clean up your life. And there are people who say, hey, I believe in Jesus, I prayed the prayer, or I got baptized, but I'm living like the devil, but I'm saved because I prayed the prayer. Well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Mm-hmm. So yes, we're saved by grace alone. Hallelujah. But grace never is alone. It always changes our life. Mm-hmm. We won't be perfect. We'll never earn our salvation. It's only Christ on the cross that earns our salvation. But good works always follow saving faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
From a viewer, you said on your program there are 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are they?
Yeah. For this, you might want to write it down if you're just in this. 1 Corinthians 12. Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and put them all together and you come up with all these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Apostleship, prophecy, teaching, exhortation, evangelism, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits, interpretation of tongues, faith, healing, miracles, helps, administration, giving, leadership, mercy, hospitality, and serving. So, and it's not like you can have more than one of those gifts, but when you have the Holy Spirit, there's a certain gifting or strength that God gives you to do. Like, do you know what your spiritual gifts are?
No, how do you know?
Well, I mean, for instance, let's say you just love to serve people. Mm-hmm. That's probably the gift of serving. Me, I love to preach and teach. Those are my gifts. But Mona, don't put me over the finances of the church because we gratefully have a board of some people gifted in finances. They're volunteers that run our finances here. But so you want to serve God where he's gifted you and not so much where he hasn't gifted you.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Do you ask somebody, what do you see?
I think that's one way. First of all, pray, Lord, show me what my gift is. Normally, your gifting is what you can do 24 hours and love it.
Okay.
But, you know, you say, but on the other hand, now and then you find a preacher who maybe is a great counselor and a great pastor, but really boring in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
So don't make him preach. Give him the other duties of the church. But so you ask people, what do you think I'm good at?
Mm-hmm.
And let them tell you.
Most people should know, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thank you for your program explaining the Trinity. The way I understand it, God the Father created Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the person of Jesus who comes into us when we are saved. Is this right?
No, it's not right. Let's explain it again. There's one God, not three gods. There's one God. In God are three eternal persons: God the Father who made us, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. All three persons are eternal and uncreated. God the Father did not create Jesus. Jesus did not create the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity are eternal. They're equally God. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of... The ancient church, there was a false teacher by the name of Arius who was teaching that Jesus was created by God the Father at a point in time. The early church condemned him because John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 teach that Jesus is God. God is eternal. Mm-hmm. So the early church came out with the Nicene Creed in 325 expressing the belief in the Trinity just to protect the church from Arius, basically. Well, there you go.
Okay. What do you think about all the freak killer storms we've been having lately in the United States? Is it the Lord bringing judgment upon us?
We sure have had a lot of, in the last 10 years, lots of huge hurricanes and stuff.
Volcanoes.
Volcanoes. Jesus said, though, when you're going to see this stuff, he said, don't be too quickly upset. The end is not yet. Mm-hmm. And, people think, well, that verse says that when that stuff happens, it's near the end. He says the opposite. Do not be afraid. Such things must happen before the second coming. So, for 2,000 years, we've had earthquakes. So I wouldn't get too excited about this. Yeah.
Okay. If I understand you correctly, you did not see the rapture happening prior to the 7 years of tribulation. Is that right? The more I read Scripture, the more I'm questioning what I've been taught my whole life.
Yeah, again, we've talked about this before in a lot of churches in America, and I think this comes from the early 1800s. A woman had a vision in New England that there would be a pre-tribulation rapture and Christians would disappear from the planet 7 years before Christ returns. If you look before that date, you don't find the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in church history. It's just not the way Christians have read the Bible. All right, so now it's very popular in the United States. My belief is what Christians have believed all along. Christians are here until Christ returns. We don't get to skip the tribulation. Christians are here until the bitter end. Christ returns, raises the dead, then we go to glory. I hope the pre-tribulation people are right. I'd love to miss the tribulation being the awful time before the second coming, but I just biblically don't see it. And people will send me books, and it's just... the verses they think teach that, I don't think teach that. But again, this is a view where I don't doubt somebody's salvation if they believe that. Mm-hmm. I get letters sometimes, I wonder if they think I'm saved because I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. What saves us is belief in Christ, not your view of eschatology, end time stuff. So there you go.
Amen. I think I have a demon. What should I do?
Well, there's a couple things to do. And, we were talking before the cameras rolled. Demon possession is kind of frequent in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more out there than we think. And so here's a person who maybe has a demon, and there's an old saying, you have to find out if your problem is 5'11" or 11'5". Mm-hmm. Meaning, is it your flesh? Is it you that's causing you to do something weird? Or 11'5", is it a bigger problem? Is it a demon that's causing you to sin? So what I would do, go to our website and look through all the programs for the one called Spiritual Warfare, where we interviewed a man on this program who I think for 50 years he's been casting out demons. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a gifting that God has given him. So it's called Spiritual Warfare. Talk to your pastor about it. Pastor, I'm having weird things happen at night or whatever is going on, and get people to pray over you. So I get people to pray over you, and if you need to, see someone, a Christian who kind of specializes in this. Yep. They can be kind of hard to find, but there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I recently had a falling out with my best friend over what is considered marriage in the Bible. She lived with a man for 15 years, and they had two children. They were never married, nor did they have any type of ceremony. She states that a pastor told her that as long as she was in a monogamous relationship, God considered them married. She became very angry with me and demanded that I show her in the Bible where marriage ceremonies occur. Please help me figure this out. And for one thing, they were not monogamous.
Right. And I've heard of a pastor who hears two older people, and for the sake of Social Security, pastor, we don't want to be legally married, but we want you to pray over us and make us husband and wife without the legal marriage. Well, isn't that defrauding the government? There's a point here. In the Old Testament, did they have a marriage ceremony? Well, I don't think they had it like we have it, but they'd have a big party, and the guy took her into the tent, and that was it. You know, they're married. Mm-hmm. So it can be somewhat cultural. And Romans 13 says, submit to the government. God has put government over us for our protection. So in America, you either go to a pastor and get legally married, or you go to a justice of the peace and get legally married. But it's way too loose. Again, 1 Corinthians 6 says, fornicators don't go to heaven. That's premarital sex. I think if you're having sex, you need to be married. Mm-hmm. And so I think,
Okay.
Yeah. Well, as long as we love each other. No. Mm-hmm. Fornicators do not receive the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's rather big.
And that's what Scripture says.
Absolutely.
Amen. Where did Cain and Abel find their wives?
Yeah. Well, this is in early Genesis, Genesis chapter 3 or 4. Cain kills Abel, and then he gets kicked out of the community there. And it says he went to the land of Nod, where he knew, as in sexual relations, his wife, and then he had kids. And sometimes atheists will say, well, see, how can he find his wife in the land of Nod when Adam and Eve and Cain were the only humans on earth? And they think that's a gotcha. It's not, because it doesn't say he found his wife in the land of Nod. It says he knew his wife, had sex with his wife in the land of Nod. Very easily he could have had his wife and took her to the land of Nod. But then you get to the question, okay, so where did the first children, who males and females, where'd they come from? Well, I think Adam and Eve had children. Maybe in the first generation there was intermarriage in that family. Now later, of course, incest is a sin, but maybe at the very beginning that's just the way it was for a while. I think some people think, well, maybe God created other people than Adam and Eve. That's nowhere in Scripture. That's a guess. And now we've hit a topic where I just throw up my hands and say, God knows. I don't really need to know. Mm-hmm. I don't really lose sleep over this. I mean, we had an old pastor at our church who taught very well, and he said, when I come across a difficult scripture, I look at it, I study it, but then I tip my hat to it, walk around it, and move on.
Amen.
So there you go.
I divorced and remarried my first wife. The second marriage ended in divorce due to her infidelity. My third marriage ended when my wife passed away. I met my fourth wife when she was volunteering at a nursing home and where she was a nurse. She introduced me to the pastor and had no problems marrying the two of us due to the infidelity of my first marriage. Would Jesus approve?
I just want to encourage everybody to read carefully Matthew chapter 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, don't get divorced. Mm-hmm. But if you do, remain single or remarry your original spouse. Mm-hmm. So, and then Jesus said, if you marry somebody after you've been divorced, you're committing adultery. Mm-hmm. And if you marry a divorced person, you're committing adultery. Now, everybody, Jesus said that. He's our Lord. You've at least got to take that in and chew on it. And, but Pastor, what do I do? I've already remarried. Do I get divorced now? I would say no, because of 1 Corinthians 6 again. Some of you were adulterers, but you were washed of that. So if you've done that, I would say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. And now, God, would you bless my new marriage, but forgive me and bless us now. And I'd stay in that marriage. But if you and Greg get divorced and you find another guy later and you want me to marry him to you and Greg is still alive, even if he's remarried, I can't do it. Now, well, what about the husband abusing the wife? Well, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, don't get divorced. But if you do, I think by those words he knows there will be times when there has to be divorce for to protect your life, maybe. But it never says, then you're free to find someone else. So you be single. 1 Corinthians 7 says, as a single person, you can have a full life serving the Lord. I love my life. I'm single. I've been single my whole life. I love my life. So there you go.
Okay, next question. Yep. Shouldn't preachers mainly preach on the love of God? I have never heard of my pastor preach about hell. Our church is mainly focused on God's love and grace.
You know, I think I asked somebody once, when's the last time you heard your pastor preach on hell? And I think she said, he has never preached on hell.
Wow.
And my response to that question is, because I love people, I preach on hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to go to hell for eternity. So I'm going to be quiet about that and let them merrily go off the cliff? No, because we love people, Jesus preached on hell more than he preached on heaven. Why? Because he loves people and he wants them to come to faith in him. So to me, the whole thing, let's just preach love, let's not preach hell. Well, if you love people, you're going to talk to them about their eternity.
Right. Yeah. You hear that? Love is love.
Love it? No, it isn't.
No, it's not. All right, next question. Does the Holy Spirit ever leave a person?
Well, in the book of 1 Samuel, Saul the king had the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Testament, only certain people had the Holy Spirit. Prophets, kings. In the New Testament, the big deal is on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's poured out on all kinds of people. But in the Old Testament, it was more specifically, and Saul as the king had the Holy Spirit. And then it says, the Holy Spirit left Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord came and tormented him. So there's an example of the Holy Spirit leaving someone. Now, what about New Testament Christians? Can a New Testament Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit lose the Holy Spirit? Well, it does say, do not quench the Holy Spirit. I believe we can stuff him down, and we can. The Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's a proof that the Holy Spirit's a person. You can't grieve the wind. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe the Holy Spirit is God or a person. Well, you don't grieve a force. You grieve a person. So, So I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I think it may be different in the New Testament than it was in the Old.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Mona, that's it for today, everybody. Go to pastorstudy.org if the Lord nudges you to keep us on the air by supporting us, or you can see our TV show for free anytime there. And please pray for us. We're on the air just by the grace of God and because of you, our viewers.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.